You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
For those of you listeners who know my background a bit, you might remember the stories of my first few jobs after college. From being a mall cop to selling makeup door-to-door, I realized that I had skills that were being underutilized and that these minimum wage jobs couldn't support me or last forever. I spent years going through YouTube, reading books, listening to podcasts, and taking enough online courses to reinvent myself as a professional copywriter and digital marketer. Years later, thanks to my side hustles and drive, I've worked with national news outlets, multi-million dollar tech startups, nonprofits, and celebrities to build their brands and drive sales. None of this could have happened if I didn't develop in-demand skills. I had to do this alone, but you don't have to. You have Hustlers University 2.0. Hustlers University 2.0 is a community where you can learn real skills to earn money online today, starting with side hustles you can use to elevate your game. I'm not just an advocate for Hustlers University, I'm also a student. Every professor is verified to be making $10,000 to $500,000 monthly in their selected field. You get full resources, lesson plans, and an active community of thousands of other Hustlers University students working on skills such as stock analysis, cryptocurrencies, e-commerce, copywriting, which was my favorite course, one I actually went ahead and took last month. And as a copywriter of 7 years, I even took a ton out of that, including some of the resources I was able to take over to my day job. You also learn freelancing, financial planning, affiliate marketing, business management, and so much more. If you're tired of depending on a boss who hates you to deliver your paycheck, or have learned since the lockdowns that controlling the source of your income is vital to your individual freedom, sign up for Hustlers University 2.0 today using the link in the show notes. I'll see you there. Appreciate you coming on. I just want to talk about you today. This is going to be a bit of a shorter episode since I'm cramming a lot the last few weeks before my wedding. So
oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's in 3 weeks and I fly out in two. So I'm taking advantage of all the time I have to try and get some stuff settled. So then I'm not bringing a microphone with me on our honeymoon. That would be kind of weird.
Yeah, you could just like upload it and be done.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. So I'm not super formal. We'll just go ahead and jump into it.
Okay.
Kristen, thank you so much for coming on the program today. I'm always really fascinated by people that want to put themselves out in the public square, so to speak. I've never really felt the urge to want to run for office of any kind. I mean, I think everyone has some type of fascination. It's like, you know, I could be president or mayor or something. And then you meet some of those people and you get involved in that type of stuff. And then you're like, no, I think I'm good. I think I want to avoid it. I've become largely non-politically focused the last couple of years. I'm pretty sure you're the only candidate I've spoken to on this program for a very long time. But I'm really interested now because I was talking to our mutual friend Chris Galt, and I know that he's very excited about you running. You're running for Madison Township in Indiana, and I know some people are thinking like, what does this have to do with me? Well, it's really about trying to understand like, What is the mindset of people running for office post lockdowns? I always go back to that. The world has completely changed. I was a career political operative and political consultant for years. I worked for a lot of people, and I largely think that personally, politics is a waste of time for a lot of people. I think there are a lot of good people that get involved and for very good reasons. But I mean, ultimately, I sometimes wonder, like, why do people want to still try and get involved? Why do people want to try and make a change in their community. So let's just kind of start from the beginning. What's kind of your background? What made you eventually get to that decision where you're like, you know what, maybe I should give this a try?
Well, it takes a special kind of crazy, for one, to even want to run for political office. Passion, I think it really boils down to, I'm a passionate person, and I decided to point that passion towards politics, because nobody is passionate about politics anymore. It's become a business, and it's not what it is. Our government isn't a business, and it shouldn't be run as such. We should step back. You know, businesses have a lot of control and a lot of regulation. I was nobody. I'm nobody, really. I'm just a small town kid who grew up and stayed in the small town. I started to care when my kids started to go to school. I started to pay attention to what was going on. I got really disenfranchised back in 2015, started to really pay attention on a national level, and quickly found that my opinions on national level didn't mean anything. I couldn't change anything there.
So was there like a moment or a specific candidate or race or whatever?
I don't know if there was a specific candidate. I started locally. I started to see Danny Lundy make a lot of posts in our community chats and things like that. This is before I ever knew him. And he really pushed Lucy Brenton, who ran for Senate here in Indiana, and it was Gary Johnson. And I was like, it was the first time I'd seen a third party candidate get any kind of momentum. So I started to follow him. I did end up voting for him. I wasn't 100% confident in him, but I wasn't 100% confident in the libertarian message then either. But I lost, you know, obviously, and we ended up with Trump. And I was like, wow, nobody cares. And this is what we end up with, because nobody cares, because it's only about what entertains me this moment. Mm-hmm. And nobody's thinking about the long game. And, you know, I have a lot of Gen X friends. I have a lot of millennial friends. My brothers are Gen Z. My kids are Gen Z. And so I see what I'm leaving for them. And I'm like, I can't change it nationally, but if I can change it in my community, then they will change it as they get older. And I want to start that domino effect.
Are you running as a libertarian?
I am.
And there's a genuine question. Yeah. I know a lot of people that have run as libertarians in Indiana, more so than a lot of other states. Is it because libertarians actually, and I do, this is a genuine question, I don't want this to seem like it's condescending or whatever. How do libertarians perform? Do libertarians perform well throughout the state? Like, are people open to that? Because from an outsider looking in, I'm in Wisconsin. Yeah. It looks like a pretty deeply, like, you know, conservative state.
Indiana is a very conservative state. We're predominantly red. Libertarians do okay out here. Not too shabby. So I started my foray into libertarianism with Danny Lundy. He ran for Brown Township Board. It's the same office I'm running for, but in a different township. And he almost won. Like, and I say that, and it sounds, you know, he almost won, but he was less than 1,000 votes different from the next guy on the list. He went out, he put in the work. And I think that the Indiana libertarians do put in the work. They go out, they knock doors, they fundraise, they work really hard, they spread their message. And in Indiana, especially, Republicans have become really disenfranchised. A lot of our Republicans are politicking like Democrats. You know,
they're kind of showing up to vote GOP because they always kind of vote GOP.
They just always have. And when we give them this other option and we get to meet them and they see us and we're not the crazy idea of libertarian that the internet has, you know, and in the last 2 years, it's really gotten huge. Don Rainwater, he got the best percentage of candidate for governor's gotten in Indiana. And in a third of the state, he got more than a third. He won, you know, he was good. And he got 33% of the vote here in Morgan County, which is unheard of. Like, it was a big deal. And so we're kind of riding that momentum still. They've seen a good candidate. They've backed a candidate who has their same ideas and wants to fight for their liberties, even when they differ. And they kind of are starting to see, wow, maybe my party isn't listening to me. And I think that's why part of why we do so good. But it really has to do with the people that put in the work, the people that have built this party. Erin Pyle, she worked really hard. She's out in Pennsylvania now, and she grew this party. And then she said, okay, I'm done with this baby. Here you go. And we're trying, you know, people like her and Evan McMahon and Joe Hopman, they've worked really hard to make this party be something principled and keep it going. You know, a lot of times libertarian circles end up, we put the party back in politics. You know, they get distracted. They're not focused and organized. And, you know, we're out here putting in the work. We're using that CRM like nobody's business. We are building databases of vote totals in every precinct, in every township, in every county. It's 5,673 of them in Indiana, but we're taking that data so that we can use it going forward, that we know where people are friendly to libertarians and how better to cater our message and tailor our message to them.
I've never had a candidate actually say I have a functioning CRM system. So kudos to you on that, because usually I was still having to teach candidates how to use Google. It's interesting to see, because like for the lockdowns and everything, Indiana really didn't respond the way that a lot of states did. And I'm not saying that to credit the Republicans. I say it because the people wanted to move on more so than maybe even the state government did. When I went to Indiana for the first time in January of 2021, like, you could still see a lot of like the lingering effects of the pandemic and everything else. And, you know, driving all across the state through all these different small towns, like, you could see that even if they wanted to move on, like, they're struggling because the rest of the state and even their surrounding neighbors and the rest of the country, they weren't adapting the way that they needed to respond to things. So, I mean, small town rural America got damaged in ways that I don't think people really truly understand. And I think, you know, talking to some like very conservative people in Indiana, it's not that they really identify as libertarians, but they truly understand that, like, listen, like, the government took away a lot from us, mm-hmm. and that these people who say they're our friends were not there for us when it actually mattered. I don't know if you've experienced that, but I mean, I feel like we're in a completely different paradigm than we were in even like 2019, 2018. I mean, it's like the stuff you see on TV finally came home for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's like the things that libertarians have been saying for years are finally becoming into fruition, and people's eyes are opening. You know, we've given them so much power, and then they took it from us. Like, we just ended our emergency back in March, because
statewide.
Yes, the statewide emergency just ended in March. And I'm like, it's been that's a long 2 weeks, Governor Holcomb. You know. And some in the legislature are trying to rein that in. You know, Indiana just passed a law last year that allows the House and the Senate to meet so that the governor can no longer extend these executive orders past 30 days and things like that. You know, before they couldn't be called into session, and now they can call themselves into session without the governor. And kind of rein in him a little bit, where he's got this autonomous presidential power. He's the president of Indiana, basically. That's, you know, what a governor does. And it kind of went to his head, and people got really upset when they couldn't go to church. And it spiraled, I think, from there. You know, it's no longer just about that liberty. It's now every property in Morgan County has their just been reassessed, and our assessment values went up 25% to 45% across the board. And people are angry. You know, they're mad. They're, why is this happening? Well, because you have a Republican who's running in a primary unopposed, who doesn't have a Democratic opponent in November. And so where is the accountability? There's nothing going to happen to this assessor. They're going to be reelected by default. And people are upset. They see that they continue to get in power, and there's no control.
Well, why not run, you know, for your position that you're seeking to get, why not run in one of the two major parties?
I don't. Is it, my principles don't align with theirs. It's as simple as that. You know, I don't believe in their message. They say a lot of things. You know, Joe Biden ran on cannabis. You know, this is a huge deal, and then gets in and fires anybody that's ever used cannabis because of a clearance issue. Well, and that's not who I am. I'm not absolutely not going to run on an issue that I won't follow through on.
I completely understand where you're coming from with that. I mean, for me, I used to talk to a lot of libertarian candidates, and like the thing that really bothers me now is that I don't think a lot of libertarians running the last couple cycles talked loudly enough about the lockdowns, especially like the national level. I didn't like the fact that Joe Jorgensen just like completely ignored that and everything else. And, you know, it's like when everything happened, it's like there weren't libertarians in the state house. There weren't libertarians in Congress. There weren't even libertarians in the boardroom
right.
for a lot of businesses. So it's like, I look at this and I hear people with a lot of just really, you know, really good intentions. And I mean, their heart's in the right place, but it's like, I've got as somebody that has voted libertarian in the past, it's like, I've got kind of a trust issue, because it's like, why would I spend time and money to help you? Why would I vote when it's ultimately just, you know, a protest? People still use that. And I don't like that language, but that's still right. kind of the mindset that we're in.
Well, and, you know, my argument for that is, you know, because I get that a lot. Well, I'd vote for you if you were running Republican. And so I have a special caveat in my race that it's a pick three. So you can't vote straight ticket. You can vote for me, even though I'm not a Republican, because you can vote on your principles. You know, I hear it all the time. Libertarians can't win. You won't get the votes. Well, we won't get the votes because you don't go vote, because it's so important to the collective whole socially, you know, that stigma that I've got to win. I have to be on the winning side. My choice is only important if it's the right choice and if it's what they choose. My neighbors are going to vote this way, so I'm going to vote this way, because otherwise I'm wrong and I don't want to lose. It doesn't feel good to lose. But I think if everybody stopped worrying about it as a contest, it's just voting. This is the most important thing that we do as humans, as Americans. It is the only voice that we have in our future. And if we don't vote our principles versus our partner, you know, our partner's ideals or our neighbor's ideals, vote our peers, then we're throwing it away. I'm not ever going to vote away because my husband voted away. You know, I don't take his opinion on anything like that, because it's mine. This is my only voice. And I've only had a voice in voting for 100 years, you know, so that's really important. I'm not about to let anybody take it away. And I think that we've just gotten very complacent in the last 60, 70 years in America with our voice.
I'll admit something. Since I moved here a year ago, I haven't registered to vote. And, you know, we've had quite a few local elections and everything come up, and it's usually just Democrats and Republicans. There is a Wisconsin Libertarian Party. I don't know who they run. I don't know who's running. I don't know what's going on, but by and large, like, I haven't really been incentivized to do that. And as I stay here longer, and I've already said to my fiance and everything, I'm like, we're going to give it a year and then maybe assess as to whether we want to move elsewhere. That is one of those things I have to decide. It's like, how much involvement do I want in my community without being in the community? But then when do I get to the point where it's like, yeah, what the community decides is ultimately going to affect me.
Right.
And it's this weird, I feel like I'm in therapy. It's this weird, like, complacency between inaction and inaction. It's like, what is the action? The action is leaving again. I already left Virginia. Virginia has gone red. I like the current governor of Virginia, but I need to see some action before I believe they're actually going to change anything. And even then, there's a lot of stuff about there that I still wouldn't move back to. But it's also like, so if that's the action, what's the inaction? Just accept it. Just allow it to happen. It's in a weird place. And I don't feel too bad about saying that, because, and I'm not saying this is right. I'm not saying people should adopt this mindset. It's just where I've been. But I'm like, if I feel this way, and I spent most of my young adult career doing this, I can only imagine how it is for people that never were involved in this and felt totally victimized the last couple of years. And now they wonder whether or not it matters, because you have Democrats saying for elections, well, Russia gets involved, and you have Republicans saying it's stolen. And then it just gets to the point where it's like, you know, I don't know if people are actually going to solve things.
Yeah. As a millennial, I have a lot of friends that don't vote. They don't care. They put their heads in their sand. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't affect me. I don't care. And I'm like, wow, I don't get it. But I'm focused and passionate about that. They're focused and passionate about softball or fixing cars, you know, and when it affects them, they'll get involved. But that's why they need good, solid candidates that are principled, that have their best interests at heart. And I think so many people have gotten disenfranchised. I vote in the general. I'll vote for Democrats or Republicans because I'm well versed on my candidates, because I go out and I look. The races that I care about are the auditors, I care about the clerk, and I care about my township. I try not to worry too much about countywide things because it doesn't immediately affect me, and it starts to become a hailstorm and you will quit if you start to focus on all that, because it's negative. It's disgusting. It's gross. I'm flabbergasted how common sense is just lost. And I can understand how the average person who doesn't want to run for office, who's not involved in politics, could be like, why do I care, bro? I've got three hots. I'm not in the middle of a war. You know, gas prices go up and down all the time, whatever, you know, real laissez-faire about it. And so that's why I try to tell people, you know, find the issue that you care about and focus on that. You know, I care about Madison Township. I care about the taxes that I pay here and where they're going to. At township levels, they fund fire departments, basically. That's the majority of it. And I think fire safety is paramount. And that's one of the only things our taxes even should pay for. So if we're going to have taxes.
Yeah, I've never been like, oh, you know what I really wish was privatized? The fire department. That's like really like, maybe there's an argument for that, but that's very low on my immediate concerns. It's like when I pick up the phone and call 911, I want them to show up.
I actually have a specific real life example of a privatized fire department.
Oh my God, I need to hear this. Over. Tell me
and
about this.
It's hell. So there was a gentleman and he was contracted by the trustee. Some townships work a little differently, and it was a volunteer fire department. Mm-hmm. And this gentleman had purchased the apparatus, the building, etc., and he was the fire department. It was him. But he was using the taxpayer dollars to do this. He used taxpayer dollars to build a new station. He used taxpayer dollars to buy the apparatus because he had the contract. And then he wouldn't fight the fires because he was one guy. You know, he couldn't keep a volunteer service. It ended up in a really bad situation. It turned out that he was using taxpayer money for personal items and things like that. He used it to build his own house, I believe. There was some trouble. Don't quote me on that. I might be sketched.
But I mean, it basically sounds like they created an artificial monopoly.
It did. It did create an artificial monopoly, 100%. It got to the point where the county got involved and said, we're not going to give you this tax money anymore, so you can't have a volunteer fire department. It got to a bad situation where that territory wasn't being covered at all, when the surrounding townships were struggling to help out there. And that's what started me being interested in Madison Township, because they considered merging our fire territories.
Oh, God.
Which would have raised our taxes out here. It would have taken all of the burden off of the gentleman who was the volunteer fire department. It would have made Madison Township absorb all the debts and pay for the equipment that they had, because we would need that equipment to continue to service that area, because, you know. It was just a cluster, and that's why I got involved. There were about 120 of us at that meeting. The board didn't know what was going on, so the trustee and the clerk, then the chief of police hadn't been very open with them. They were combative. It was a terrible situation, and that's when I was like, I think maybe I could fix this. You know,
did you want to be the candidate, or were you hoping that somebody like you would run so that way you didn't have to be the person getting all the slings and arrows?
I have always been the person that gets slings and arrows. I have a big mouth. I've always said my mind since I was in high school. It's gotten me in a lot of trouble. And I said my piece that night at that meeting, and I was asked by about five different members of the community if I was going to run. And that's when I was like, you know, I can take it. You know, I've literally had tomatoes thrown at me. because I was very pro LGBTQ in the early 2000s. And, you know, I was at protests when I was a teenager. And so I can handle it, you know, let
them. If you can do that, you can handle the local election.
I can, yeah. Which actually I started to wonder, recently it's gotten pretty bad. The mudslinging, not on me, but other candidates in similar races. And I'm like, wow, this is bad. They're so mean.
I have worked every level of campaign possible, from like dog catcher to president.
Nice. And
the ones that really bothered me, the ones where I'm like, are these people crazy, were the ones that were the two city council races I managed. Like local politics, like people think it's local, it's not as bad. Local politics is almost like more fiery than anything else I've ever encountered in my life.
I do think it's worse. You get down to the Hatfields and the McCoys and these small towns.
Yes. And
it's scary how it can be, you know, these are your neighbors. You know, I was not appreciative of the way my government in Madison Township was being run, but I voted for them. You know, some of them, not all of them, but, you know, I voted for the current trustee, you know, 4 years ago. And so I still have to respect them, you know, and they should be respecting me. And I just think that that's lost. And especially in local politics, I think your head gets so big. And we have a town nearby, and there's a gentleman on the town council who's just like, feels like he has all this power, you know. And I'm like, you are a steward of, you're my, I, you work for me. Like, where did we lose that in politics? Where did we stop being civil servants and start thinking we were the lords of the manor? You know, that's why we are in America. We stopped that practice. You don't get to come collect your tax, Mr. Taxman.
And I think the one thing that has really come across the last couple of years I've noticed is that people have really begun to realize how impactful their local politics is, because whether you like who's president or not, like, it was your local school board masking your children and sticking them in front of a computer all day. And then, yep, you know, throwing truancy laws at them if they close their screen. It was your local city council that was boarding up your business and arresting people when they wanted to go to the gym. It was your local health department that was going ahead and making sure that people were complying by utterly ludicrous laws and regulations to go ahead and keep things going. And it's like, you know, people who never voted in local elections were suddenly like, how did it get this way? And it's like, well, I mean, it didn't just happen overnight. Mm-mm.
These people have been in power for 20 years. It's the same as it is on the federal level. You know, we complain about term limits and having people that have been in office as long as Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell, but it's the same in your local county government. And it happens because we're comfortable with that name. We see it. Oh, that's familiar. I'm going to vote with what's familiar. And you have no idea what's going on because you don't read the newspaper. It's not shiny. It's not flashy. Johnny Depp's not on the front page of it. So you don't look.
Are you team Johnny or team Amber?
I'm team Johnny all the way.
Of course. Hell yeah.
What the hell? Hell, why would anybody be on Amber Heard?
I met somebody who was team Amber, and I was like, why? And I mean, it was the you want to know why? Because this person's a celebrity, and he was dining at a very popular Hollywood steakhouse. And this is years ago. I think this is before she did the Rum Diaries, where she met Johnny Depp. And he doesn't pay attention to things now, but he was like, oh, you know, she was so nice and so gorgeous. She would never poop on his bed. And I'm like, well, she did. And she hit him and all those other things. Like, you know, the devil comes as a friend.
Yes. Yes. Well, and you know, narcissists are that type of person. You never expect it until it happens. And I don't necessarily think Johnny Depp's 100%, you know, innocent.
He's no saint, but no, like, saint. As this kind of comes together, it's like, you know, she destroyed his career.
I've seen these relationships happen. I've seen it. I've seen,
I feel this that way with my government.
Who's probably not the best boyfriend, you know, he's probably not the most attentive or, you know, wants you to actually do the dishes every now and again, something, you know, and you just get berated and screamed at and belittled. And for her to be younger than him as a slight insecurity, and to sit there and pepper him with, you're so old and you're so boring, and he's lived life and he's like, I don't have to go out and do this crazy shit. You're insane. Like,
hell yeah.
And so she, to sit there and, you know, scream at him and put him down and make him small, I could see him fully snapping at some point, screaming at her, writing crazy stuff on the wall in blood, you know, because what do you do when you snap? Like, I don't know. I hope I never know, but oh. My favorite little snippet that I've seen is where he's up there on the stand and he's being cross-examined by her counsel, and he asks, or she asks, well, you'd say that you're bigger than Miss Hurd in stature, or, and you're bigger than her, right? And he said, no, I wouldn't say that. And then they pan over to Amber Heard's face, and it's just, it's absolute gold. It is. And I'm like, well, but that's also the problem, is that we're sitting here talking about Amber Heard and Johnny Depp. And in my township, they've overspent the budget for the last 8 years running. That makes our tax dollars go up. They're lying to people and doing things. They're just not transparent, you know, but nobody cares about it. It's not shiny. You know, my mother, who lives in the same township as I do, but works for a different government entity, she's always so worried about what's happening there. And I'm like, I know it's your job, but it pays you. You don't pay it. You don't have anything to do with what happens over there in that government. It doesn't affect your daily life at all. It affects your job a little bit, but not your daily life. If this affects your daily life and you're not interested in the least, like, has no idea who our trustee even is. And it's sad.
Yeah. What's your game plan? When is the election, and what are you trying to do to get yourself out there in front of as many voters as possible?
So I started running an exploratory committee last year. That was the first thing I did, so I could figure out what position I wanted to run for, the board or the trustee. I've been knocking doors. We did a community survey. So far, we've got at least 3 big votes planned, or big events planned. The first one coming up on May 7th is a big get out the vote event with a lot of candidates from all across Indiana. Statewide candidates, James Siniak for Senator, Jeff Moore for Secretary of State, which is a huge race here in Indiana. It's how we maintain our ballot access. And so we're doing that. I've got these fancy mailers, cool things I'm sending out. Policy points and stuff. We have a couple of events planned. We've got a booth. Madison Township Fire Department does a fireworks show every 4th of July. So we'll be there. We'll have cool stuff to hand out for kids. I have a pretty fair online presence, and I attend every single Madison Township meeting. So I'm just trying to put my face out there. I do know a lot of people in the community because it's where I grew up. So that's a good plus, but it comes down to putting your face in front of people, knock the doors, which is hard after COVID. There are still people that are not receptive to it. But it's a lot better than it was. You know, we worked in 2020 on campaign things and for Joe Jorgensen, and we had to get creative, and it's a lot easier now. And people are more willing to come out and volunteer. So it should be easy. It should be well. But I attended a candidate forum, and I've been invited to later this year speak with a couple. There's a firefighters union out here. They'll ask questions and make those public for my answers public, whether or not they decide to endorse me or not. I'm guessing it's probably going to be no. But
well, I appreciate everything you're doing. It always warms my heart to see when people are actually willing to put themselves out there. It's not it's not easy. And like, you know, I've known many, you know, many, many tough guys and gals who run for office. And I mean, you see the stress on them. You see it, especially when it's such an uphill battle. I've worked for more Republicans than anyone else. But I mean, I did work for a Libertarian. I did work for an independent candidate. And like, it's never easy. So I think anyone willing to put in the work, especially when it's for the best of intentions of helping people's lives and liberating them from, you know, the state of mind that we're in, the state of government that we're living under. I mean, it's a hard task. So I do greatly appreciate you for coming on and answering everything, including, you know, meeting another Team Johnny person. If people want to go ahead and, you know, check out more about you, check out all your stuff, make a donation, volunteer, I'll go ahead and include that all in the show notes, but you want to go ahead and just let me know now.
Yeah, no, it's at kristencares.org. You can find everything about me, my priorities, things that are going on in Madison Township. Also check out the Libertarian Party of Morgan County here in Indiana. They're a wonderful model of how all county affiliates should move forward and how people can grow from 3 members to 28 members in just a few years. If you want to donate to me on PayPal, it is easy. It's just Lady for the number Liberty. And I accept monthly donations also, but you do have to check the little box, not uncheck it.
Awesome stuff. Well, I greatly appreciate you. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah, thank you, Remzo. It's been awesome and it was a pleasure. And I hope to listen to more of your stuff in the future.
Greatly appreciate it. Well, folks, if you enjoyed conversations like the one we just had, go ahead and do me a favor. Follow me across Al Gore's amazing internet, Hey Remso, and go ahead and subscribe to the show if you haven't already. A 5-star rating and review also costs you nothing, but it means everything to me. As always, be safe, be good. Good night.